I swear, I'll swear, yes I am. All right, we're still in chapter 6, honoring covenant relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. Praise God. All right, we said that in order for us to really have this apostolic base, we have to be trained to honor the bonds of covenant that exist within relationships ordained and joined by God. We said that those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy will reject any loyalty, commitment, and integrity in any long-term relationship. You know, I don't know who asked the question, but it was a good question about, you know, we in covenant relationship. You know, what do you do if a person, is a manipulator, whatever and stuff. One of the things, you know, Apostle hit the nail on the head. We got to have discernment. A lot of times what we have is a lot of suspicion, you know, people of God. And we ought to put ourselves in a position where we really begin to see God in a way where God revealed to us, you know, what's not real and what is. One of the things that I think sometimes Christians get mixed up the difference in forgiveness and trust. See, if a person burned you one time, see, we've been commanded to forgive, but trust has to be earned. So if a person, in a marriage relationship, all right, if there has been some kind of infidelity, and so then the spouse says that, you need to stay at home. You know what went on? You know what happened last time? He said, well, I thought you forgave me. I did. I just don't trust you. So, and then trust has to be the person whose trust has been violated is the person who has to set the criteria for the trust to be reestablished. So you don't just trust a person. I don't just trust a person just because they say they're sorry. You with me? No, I don't trust them just because they say they're sorry. Now you got to prove to me that because you violated my trust. So you would have to prove to me that you're trustworthy again. So, and the thing about it is, I have been violated. My trust has been violated. I set the criteria for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all with me? Amen. So, because with this covenant, we got to come to a place where we understand. Watch this. The covenant is really based on the foundation of a covenant is really has to do with love. It has to do with love. Like I said, love is all right. We're gonna see because in the Old Testament, the word for love was hasid, and then in the New Custom Covenant, the New Testament, the Hebrew word, Greek word is agape. Same word, love. So there was certain times when God was saying certain things about love and kindness and that kind of thing. He was talking covenant talk. All right. So we must give value to all God ordained relationships, whether it is between Christians or otherwise. There is no two standards for relationships. In fact, the relationship between Christians should go beyond the basic righteousness of man and operate on divine principles. We must take it to the next level. So just like marriage is a covenant, we said, it's not a contract. So it doesn't operate as a partnership between two people who just mutually bless each other. All right. Also, we said that God is the God of covenant, and all his dealing with mankind have been on the basis of a covenant. Every time when God did anything as it related to mankind, God did on the basis of covenant. God made sure, you know, before, all right, when God, the Bible talks about how, you know, after man sinned, you know, how God had to send his son, right? Okay, all right. Now, remember when Abraham and God cut covenant? Remember in the 15th chapter of Genesis when they cut that covenant? Now, remember when it comes down to covenant, there has to be a mutual agreement between the two parties. Not only that, whatever one asks for, the other one has to be willing to give. But the one that's asking has to be just as willing to give as the one that asks. You with me? All right, so watch this. So now, in a covenant, Jesus made a covenant with Abraham. Jesus tells Abraham, God made a covenant with Abraham. God tells Abraham, I want your son. I want your only begotten. I want Isaac. Bring him. I want you to sacrifice him. All right? Here he is now. Isaac was about 17 years old, so Isaac wasn't no little baby. Right. You know, he was just helpless and couldn't fight his way out. No, Isaac was about 17 years old, but the thing about it is Isaac trusted his father. Yes, and so as Abraham's taking him up that mountain, Isaac asked a question. He said, I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And then God says to him, Abraham said, God is going to provide a sacrifice. All right. So now, once he got ready to put him on the altar, the scripture says, and he went to rail back with the knife. Scripture says that a voice spoke and said, Abraham, do your son no harm. Right. All right. Now, what this set up was God knows now that Abraham is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. All right. So now God said, now I asked Abraham for his son and he was willing to do it. So now the same way I'm going to give my son. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, he was preparing back then. He was preparing for Jesus's coming. That's what the whole thing was about. It was about a covenant. But God had to find a person who he could trust, a family that he could trust so that lineage could come through. And so, but God said, I'm going to let my son go all the way. instead of stopping the angel like they did with Abraham, with Abraham's son, because Isaac really could not have redeemed man. Right. But Jesus being the sacrificial lamb, how many of you know God had to let him go all the way? His only begotten son he gave. Why? Because his covenant man Abraham had offered, amen, he was given up out of obedience, his son. So the covenant, man, it's so powerful once we really understand that everything in covenant, God is preparing us for something greater. That's what he's doing. He's preparing us for something that's greater. All right. So when God invited Abraham to enter the covenant with him, God promised Abraham that the covenant would never be nullified. In other words, he told Abraham that this covenant that we're going to make, this covenant, see, we said this, that covenant is really for the next generation. Yes, sir. So he said that this covenant is not going to be nullified. In other words, this thing is going to go on and on. What I spoke to you, Abraham, is going to be for your seed after that. You remember when they were sacrificing, God told Abraham, right before, you know, the sacrifice took place, right before the covenant took place, he told Abraham, he told him about his people that was going to be in captivity for 400 years. He started telling him about that. That's going to go into slavery. And then God was going to judge that nation. And see, it's something how God does things and how God already has a plan. But a lot of times the reason why we are not in agreement with what God is trying to do is because a lot of times we don't understand what he's doing. You with me? But God always knows what he's doing. He's always, that's why through covenant, through that covenant relationship with God, he began to show us things. All right. So we said that in establishing understanding among the believers, the power of covenant with God, we are laying strong foundations for other wholesome relationship within the house. So we said that the beneficiary of covenant relationship is the next generation, right? All right. Look at Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis, the 18th chapter. Yeah, the 18th chapter. Okay, in the 16th verse it says, and the men rose up from hence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham? Now, this is something. God getting ready to destroy Sodom. But Abraham is God's covenant partner. And so God is not going to destroy. God is not going to hide from Abraham what he's about to do. So you know what that means? See, that's what when we hear scriptures like when the scripture talks about how eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither have done to the heart of man the thing that God had prepared for them that they love. But he revealed them to us by his spirit. That's covenant, because we're in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. God is obligated to show us what's going to come before it comes. Oh, boy, I wish. Look, God, how many of you ever experienced something and God showed you before it ever happened? See, that's got to do with covenant. God is not going to hide from a covenant, but you got to understand covenant. You with me? And then not only do you have to understand covenant, but let me go on to this point because I'm going to show you something. So it says that, he says, so I shall not hide from Abraham that which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Look what he says next. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring unto Abraham. Now, Abraham, that which he has spoken to him. All right. So, covenant is always, God is always trying to make sure that this next generation understands the covenant, because it's somewhere that he's trying to bring. It's a perpetual thing. It's not something that starts and stops with God. See, that's why every one of us, God is requiring us to teach our children. Y'all with me? So that what Christ has done on the cross won't be lost. They'll teach it to their children and their children's children. See, because the covenant was not just for that person in that generation, but it was for a generation to come. All right. Just like, I'm about to jump ahead of myself. Let me go a little further here. Watch my time. All right. So, there are blessings we can't receive until we are part of God's covenant. Even though faith allows us to access it into the partial benefits of the covenant, the partial benefits, not the whole thing. Because see, know why? Because the Bible says faith works by love, right? And love is the foundation of covenant. So if we don't understand covenant, the love that the covenant is based on, we're not going to be able to use our faith to the fullest extent until I understand that, look, God made a covenant with me. I'm in covenant with God. And that means that everything that God has promised in his word belong to me. It belong to you. But if we don't understand it, if we don't understand how, just like Jesus, the Bible said, well, we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, right? So God was already, when Abraham, when he cut covenant to Abraham, he was already making a way for Christ to come. And you know what he was making, why he was making the way for Christ to come? For the generation to come. He's way ahead of us. He's way ahead of us. All right. So there are many who operate in faith and have tapped into the blessings of the covenant, but they are merely receiving the crumbs that fall from the master's table. They're in Matthew 5 and 26. Let's look at it for a minute. Matthew 5, 26 and 27. We need to get a deep understanding and revelation about covenant, because when we do, there's nothing going to be able to stop you. Nothing going to be able to stop your faith, because you know what, that God can't lie. He can't go back on what he said. If he said he'll do it, if he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Because he's a God. He's a God of the covenant. Verse 26 there. It says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, he was talking to this woman. She wasn't a part of the covenant. She wasn't a part of it. And so he was really called her a dog. And that woman could have got offended. And look what she said. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs. She could have got offended. That woman said, I come in to get something. I come in to get a miracle. I need a miracle. So I'm not leaving because of an offense. It said, eat up the crumbs which fall from the master's table. A lot of times when people who say don't understand covenant, really, they're living a dog life. Not really living where God wants them to live and walk where God wants them to walk and have what God wants them to have. Okay, if we choose to walk in covenant, we take part of the bread of the master's table and live like sons and daughters, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So then Arthur goes on to talk about the blessings of the Father and blessings of God. The prodigal son, he talks about, as long as You know, one son was talking about the other son. You know, this son went off. He did all this stuff. And then I've been here with you all this time. He said, son, don't you realize all that? He said, son, in other words, it was a father-son relationship. It wasn't just, you know, God is the God of the universe. But he's only father to those who received him. So those who received them, they are in covenant with him. And being in covenant with him, God would not withhold anything from us. Ooh, my God. Hold on, we'll go a little further here. Now, covenant relationships are incomplete if we choose different destinies in life. You know, when Jonathan and David had cut covenant, that was some things that took place with Jonathan and David. Now, listen at this. Jonathan and David, when they cut covenant together, see, they were young when they cut covenant. If they had not cut covenant, even though they loved each other, the Bible says they loved each other in their own soul. But as time went on, they may have lost that. But covenant kept it in place. That love that they had for each other, that covenant kept that thing in place. To the point that when David went to the caves of Engedi, Jonathan chose to return to his father's palace. Now, Jonathan could have lived longer if he had stayed. Now, this is something. Because Jonathan was not where he's supposed to have been as it related to the covenant, he should have been with David. Now, I want you to see how strong this is. You know, the term that blood is thicker than water, that's covenant talk. Blood meaning the covenant and water meaning birth. Blood is thicker than water. That's covenant. See, people thought blood meant kinfolk. And the water was, you know, was just acquaintance. No. Blood thicker than water is covenant. Because the relationship through covenant is more stronger than the blood of brothers or sisters. It's strong. So now, if Jonathan, every time when Jonathan he declared to David, he said, now, you're not going to have to worry about my father. Now, this was his daddy. This was his blood. You're not going to have to worry about my dad because I'm going to make sure that he doesn't kill you. Now, so here it is, you know. Saul was upset because, you know, they were praising David for, you know, the things that he did. They say Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. So his jealousy rose and stuff till he got to the point to where he wanted to kill David. And then he got obsessed with killing David. He wanted to just destroy David. But the thing about it was, Jonathan would always tell him when his daddy was after him. But there came a time when Jonathan went back with his father when he should have stayed with David. If he had stayed where he was supposed to have been, he would not have lost his life in battle. Connection is a powerful thing. People don't realize how powerful it is, but connection is a powerful thing. See, if God has, one of the reasons why, I mean, I understand covenant. One of the reasons why I understand covenant, because I grew up on the street, and growing up on the street, you know, you had to have that person back who you running with. And so, but I understand. I'm going to say this, and, you know, I believe that when a person is where they're supposed to be in covenant, and they stay under that covering, Apostle was talking about, that's a protection that's in that cup, that's under that umbrella. And Jonathan should not have lost his life when he did. Also, when Jonathan and David cut covenant, David gave him everything. I mean, Jonathan gave him everything. Gave him everything. Gave him his robe. He gave him his sword. He gave him everything. Really, Jonathan was giving David the throne then. He was giving him the throne. He gave him everything but his shoes or his sandals. He gave him everything. So what happens is when you're in covenant and you don't give, you don't receive all. See, what apostle has, I'm receiving it all. Let me tell you why. Because I'm looking for the generations to come. You with me? The generations to come, there are some things that God is going to do. See, the reason why, because Jonathan didn't give him the shoes, that meant that that next generation was crippled. The next generation, now I'm gonna show you something. Go to 2 Samuel 9 and 1. 2 Samuel 9 and 1, yeah. Now, this is when after Saul and Jonathan is dead, you know, they lost their life in battle. The Philistines that came over, they won the battle and that sort of thing and stuff. So now when this happens, see, whenever one king conquered another king, what the king would do, he would get the whole family that was left of the one, the king that was defeated. He'd get the whole family to kill him because he wanted to make sure that there'd be nobody from that family that would rise up and take that throne. So in doing that, so the people fear. So there was a nurse. Jonathan had a son. He had two sons. One was Mephibosheth. So while the nurse was getting him and they was running, trying to get away from the Philistines, he dropped him. He dropped him and the baby fell on up against the pavement and he was crippled in his feet. So they takes him out in a desert place. He wound up in a place called Lodabar. But the thing about it was this. Mephibosheth, he was out there, but this is what he didn't know. He didn't know that his father had made a covenant with David. And so he out here, he heard these stories about David, how David was the enemy of their family and that kind of thing and stuff. But here in the first verse here, it said, and David said, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness? That's the love of God. That's the high seat for Jonathan's sake. You see that? And then it says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there any of the house? Now here, because of the covenant, watch this. When David made the covenant with Jonathan, Mephibosheth was in Jonathan. Hallelujah. He was in Jonathan, although he wasn't born yet. So as it related to the covenant, that promise that was made was not only for Jonathan, was for the generations to come. So now Mephibosheth, after they go and they find him, and he comes, he gets down on the ground because he thinks David's going to kill him. But David has made this covenant. He don't know nothing about the covenant that David made with his daddy. But David says something to him. Watch this. So, say now, verse 6. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee. Look what he said. I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now, here it is. He wasn't born yet, but he was in Jonathan. So because he was in Jonathan, he was a part of that covenant. So he goes, he's going to sit at the king's table and eat continually. All right. Let's go back to you and I. All right. Over 2,000 years ago, when God cut a covenant, when the Bible said he couldn't do it with nobody else, he cut covenant with himself. So he cut a covenant with Jesus. You with me? And so now the reason why the promises that God made are for us, because when God made this covenant, we were in Christ. Yes, sir. You understand what I'm saying? We were in Christ. So whenever the covenant was made, we were a part of that covenant. So everything that the Father has belonged to us. See, and you got to know that. You got to know that. And so when you understand covenant, your loyalty that you have if you don't have loyalty for God, I'm repeating myself. If you don't have loyalty to God, you're not going to have loyalty for your spouse. If you don't have loyalty to God, you're not going to have loyalty for your man of God. You with me? Or your woman of God. But so what God was doing, God was putting us in a position, man, to win. On every front. You understand? The Bible say, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000. That's covenant talk. That's because I'm not by myself. My enemies have become God's enemies. That's why he told Abraham, I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And I'm out of time. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.